When the Count reached the lobby, before he could continue to the barbershop, his eyes were drawn to a willowy figure coming through the hotel's doors. But then all eyes in the lobby were drawn to her. A tall woman in her mid-20s with arched eyebrows and auburn hair, she was indisputably striking. And as she approached the front desk, she walked with a breezy sureness, as seemingly unaware of the feathers projecting from her hat as of the bellhops dragging her luggage behind her. But what guaranteed her position as the natural center of attention were the two borzois she had on leash. In an instant, the Count could see that they were magnificent beasts, their coats silver, their loins lean, their every sense alert. These dogs had been raised to give chase in the cold October air with a hunting party hot on their heels, and at the day's end, they were meant to sit at the feet of their master, before a fire in a manor house, not adorn the hands of a willow in the lobby of a grand hotel. The injustice of this was not lost on the dogs. As their mistress addressed Arcady at the front desk, they tugged every which way, sniffing about for familiar landmarks. "Stop it!" the willow commanded in a surprisingly husky voice. Then she yanked in a manner that showed she had no more familiarity with the wolfhounds on her leashes than she had with the birds that had feathered her hat. The Count gave the situation the shake of the head it deserved. But as he turned to go, he noticed with some amusement that a slender shadow suddenly jumped from behind a wingback chair to the edge of one of the potted palms. It was none other than Field Marshal Kutuzov, attaining higher ground to take measure of his foes. When the dogs turned their heads in unison with their ears upright, the one-eyed Cat slipped behind the trunk of the tree. Then, having satisfied himself that the dogs were securely tethered, the Cat alit from the palm to the floor, and without even bothering to arch his back, opened his little jaws and hissed. With a terrific volley of barking, the dogs leapt to the extent of their leashes, tugging their mistress from the front desk as the ledger pen clattered to the floor. "Whoa!" she shouted. "Whoa!" Apparently unfamiliar with equine commands, the wolfhounds leapt again and, freeing themselves from the willow's grip, scrambled toward their prey. Kutuzov was off like a shot. Slipping under the western embankment of lobby chairs, the one-eyed Cat dashed toward the front door, as if intending to escape into the street. Without a moment's hesitation, the dogs gave chase. Opting for a pincer move, they split at the potted palms and pursued the Cat on opposite sides of the chairs in the hopes of cutting him off at the door. A lamp that blocked the path of the first hound was knocked to the floor in a shower of sparks, while a standing ashtray that blocked the second was sent head over heels, discharging a cloud of dust. But just as the dogs were closing ranks, Kutuzov, who, like his namesake, had the advantage of familiar terrain, suddenly reversed course. Cutting in front of a coffee table, he dashed under the eastern embankment of lobby chairs and headed back toward the staircase. It took only a few seconds for the borzois to recognize the Cat's tactic. But if attentiveness is measured in minutes, discipline in hours, and indomitability in years, then the attaining of the upper hand on the field of battle is measured in the instant. For just as the wolfhounds registered the Cat's reversal and attempted to turn, the lobby's expansive oriental carpet came to an end, and the dog's momentum sent them skidding across the marble floor into the luggage of an arriving guest. With an advantage over his adversaries of 100 feet, Kutuzov skipped up the first few steps of the staircase, paused for a moment to admire his handiwork, then disappeared around the corner.